Tuesday, the 5th of February, Kofta Shvat, Rabbi Chaim Rappaport, Lo Sachmod.
There are two psukim in Torah Shabbat which address Lo Sachmod and also a related law, Lo Sisava. These are to be found in Parshas Yisroi and in Parshas Vayeshanan, respectively, in the two sets of Atharat HaDibros, the Dibros HaRishonis in Parshas Yisroi and the Dibros HaAchronis in Parshas Vayeshanan. In Parshas Yisroi it says, Leisachmed Beis Reecho, Leisachmed Eishas Reecho, V'Avdoi, V'Amosoi, V'Shoiroi, V'Chamoiroi, V'Choyl Asher L'Reecho. In Parshas Vayeshanan it says, Leisachmed Eishas Reecho, V'Loi Sis Ave Beis Reecho, Sodeihu, V'Avdoi, V'Amosoi, V'Shoiroi, V'Chamoiroi, V'Choyl Asher L'Reecho. The Moimei HaMitzvahs, generally speaking, consider these two to be two separate mitzvahs. In the Minyan HaMitzvahs of Teryag, in the Shasa HaMitzvahs Loisase, there's a mitzvah of Loisachmoid, and there's a mitzvah of Loisisade. However, regarding the exact nature of these mitzvahs, there seems to be quite a bit of Machloikis, Horishonim, and Haposkin. Generally speaking, we understand Loisachmoid. If you ask a Ben Chomesh, L'mikro, a child, what does Loisachmoid mean? He says it means you mustn't be jealous, you mustn't desire that which is someone else's. So first of all, let me make it clear, jealousy, b'chlal, to be jealous of someone else is not included in Loisachmoid, as far as I can tell, according to any opinion. Jealousy, of course, is a bad character trait, hakina v'atayva v'akovid m'tziyana sodom min o'ilam. But that doesn't make it a prohibition, and it certainly doesn't make it a violation, a transgression of Leisachmoid or Leisisada. But what about more than that? The person doesn't want, is not jealous of something else, he doesn't want a big house like someone else. He actually wants someone else's house. That house, or that house only. Or, for example, he wants someone else's car. Every time he walks past the other person's car, his heart skips a beat, he goes crazy. He desires the other person's car, the Rolls Royce, the Jaguar, whatever it is, and it mamish, he becomes in Gantz Libigirash, completely consumed with desire for the other person's car. What's the situation here? So, the Eben Ezra, amongst other Meforshei HaTorah, the Sephorno, the Barbanel, seem to have understood that this is included in the prohibition of Leisachmoid, and therefore they ask the question, how is it possible? Because, as you know, the old adage, that Mesirus Nefesh kemen arop springen from dach after ed, or bevifu Mesirus Nefesh mahotno kemen nish springen from the ed after dach. Right? So how is it possible, because so that means to say, that with the best will in the world, yes, you can't achieve the impossible. And therefore, how is it possible to command a person not to want something that he wants? You tell a person not to do, not to speak, not to think, but not to want, he wants. How is he going to stop wanting just because of the commandment not to do so? So the Eben Ezra has a very nice moshul, and the Beis Halevi has a different approach, and these can be found here in the Eben Ezra. I've put you on the paper as well. We will see if we have time to discuss this approach later on in the Shia. But at the moment, I want to move on to the way that the Rambam and the Gedolei HaPoskim understood this mitzvah, for after all, this is what is surely binding upon each and every Jew, l'halacha, ulamasa. That which the Rambam says is incumbent upon everyone. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam is in Gzeila Perek Aleph, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch virtually paraphrase the Rambam in Choshen Mishpat Siman Shin Nun Tes, and therefore this is clearly Shovel Chomer. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch explain that there are two mitzvahs loisasa. Even if you desire the other person's car, and dafke his car, not a similar car, but the one he's driving in, there is no, it would seem that there is no violation involved. That's not Leisachmoid, and that's not Leisachmoid. So what is Leisachmoid? Leisachmoid is where you actually start manipulating the other person in order to actually obtain the object of your desire. When you start nagging, asking other people to speak to him on your behalf, and twisting his arm 360 degrees till he finally crunches and gives you the item, then you're over on Leisachmoid. That's the love of Leisachmoid. What's the love of Leisisada? Leisisada means once you start plotting in your heart to do so. all these machinations, how are you going to do it? How are you going to exercise enough pressure upon the other person till he succumbs? That is Leis Yisaveh. So Leis Yisaveh, which we say is belayed, means it's an internal prohibition, a prohibition that says, do not scheme, do not plan, how to get hold of the other person's item. That's Leis Yisaveh. The Sachmoid is when you take it a stage further. And not only you scheme in your heart, but you actually manipulate the Yadai and you actually do so. The Leis Sachmoid is the master, so to speak, the actualization of this planning that takes place in the heart. And the Rambam concludes that a person is not over on this second level of Leis Sachmoid until the last straw breaks the camel's back. That means until the person agrees and he obtains it. And he acquires it ad shalotchoi mimenu, until he purchases it from him. So therefore, at least on the level of Shulchan Aruch, if a person desires that which belongs to someone else, we may say that he's not even in Sachmet. It's only when the person indulges, whether in the planning or in the actual manipulation, that he is over on the level of Sachmet as well. Lissisava, as the case may be. Just in case anyone finds this distinction too fine about whether it's someone else's object or something which is like someone else's object, so Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam in his Pirush al HaTorah and Parshas Yisro, which you have here on the page, tells us very clearly, Osir al Shimon Hisave Shoise Bayis Gufa Yeshaloi. Avaloi Shaosalay Hisave Stugmosoi Oidoimaloi. Zer Dak Vahove Noisa. Understand this somewhat fine distinction. Avraham ben Rambam. Obviously, the Avraham ben Rambam doesn't go into the exact definition of Hisave and Hisave, but that the Rambam himself does in the halachas which you have laid down in front of you. In this context of Leisachmoid and Leisisaveh, or Bika Leisachmoid, the Rambam says that you're not Chayiv Malkus if you look in Hilchot Zeir Avida Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. They loikin alav zem et nei she'in bo maisa. There are two hasogas of derived in this Rambam. Hasoga number one, the Rambam says, Kol achoy medav deyar mosei beisa v'keilav shal chaveri kol dov ashev shalei shik nehu mimenu. And then the Rambam adds the following words. Even though he paid him a good price. The Ravid adds the qualification. He says, Omar Abraham, the loy Omar Roitzali. The vendor did not agree to the sale. Literally, he did not say, I want to sell it. In other words, the Ravid seems to be suggesting that you're only over on Leis Sachmoid if at the end of the day there was no agreement. If the vendor actually agreed to the sale, according to the Ravid, there is no love of Leis Sachmoid. Rambam clearly implies otherwise. Because he doesn't say, V'loi Omar Roitzani. Next, let's talk about. The Rambam says the reason why you're not Chayiv Malkus for Leis Sachmoid is because it's a love, shame by myself. Says the Ravid, Omar Avraham Lari Yisi Dvatayim Gadol Mezeh, Heichen Maisa Gadol Lemetila Sachetet. What greater master can there be than actually taking an object of someone else? So what's the reason, Taki, you're not Chayiv Malkus for Leis Sachmoid, a din to which the Ravid also agrees? I will hoya l'loimam at neishu Chayiv b'tashlumi. So the Magid Mishnah and the other Mefarshi Rambam explain the Machloikos of the Rambam and the Ravid, and actually these two Hasogos of the Ravid are totally Zebazeh. They are contingent upon each other as follows. The Ravid understood that Leis Sachmoid means taking something without someone else's permission, except that you pay him. So what's the difference between Leis Sachmoid and Gezel? Gezel, you take it without paying. Here you pay. So someone else has got a nice watch which is worth £300. 300 pounds cash, put it on the table, you take the watch. That's Lo Sachmed according to the Rabbah. If he said Lo Sachmed, you agreed to sell the watch, according to the Rabbah, that's not Lo Sachmed. Therefore, according to the Rabbah, Lo Sachmed is a lav sheyesh b'maaseh. You took, you did a deed which was forbidden. What was the deed? The deed was that you took someone else's chayvus without permission. So why Tak is a new malchus? He's a new malchus because it's a lav sheyesh b'maaseh. Because just like you have to return the stolen goods to its rightful owner, so too with Lo Sachmed, you have to return the watch to its rightful wearer. However, the Rambam held no, as we have explained so far. The Isser of Lo Sachmed, according to the Rambam, is not about taking things without permission. It's taking it with permission. But this permission was achieved only through Hatsara Rabba, a lot of pressure that was imposed upon the other person. That's the prohibition. So therefore the Rambam doesn't say Veloy Omar Roitzani, because according to the Rambam, Lo Sachmed means even if he does say Roitzani, and he agrees to sell, since his agreement to sell only came as a result of enormous pressure, therefore, it's Lo Sachmed even in such a case. And that's why the Rambam also holds that it's a lav sheyesh b'maaseh, and the only reason why you're not chayav malchus is because why? That you took the item from him. So the Magnishan and other Meforshim, I can only paraphrase it in my way, the way I understand it. Yes? Some put it like this, that Be'etzen, the lav is to pressurize the other person into something. How much pressure do you have to impose? There's a shear. The shear is, you have to pressurize him until you take it from him. So the lav is the pressure. And when you for the pressure, there's no actual lekicha. So therefore, there's nothing which constitutes a maaseh in terms of for the purposes of lav sheyesh b'maaseh. At the end of the day, there was a maaseh. That maaseh was not the issa. That just demonstrated that you did successful pressurizing. You might say the lav is to do a successful pressurizing. Yeah. How do you determine what's successful? Well, if eventually you manage to get hold of him, then you know that your pressurizing was successful. So the Haftorah has got to be Haftorah Mutzlocha. It's got to be something successful.
Then
Eina Chanami, Lemafrei, he wouldn't have been either. I thought of an example for this, which I think is a good one, although it's Memerchot Lachmai. There are some Avedis in the Torah where it's clear that there is a pu'ula and a nifa. Let's give a very classical example from Hilchos Shabbos. On Shabbos afternoon, a person puts a cake in an oven that's on, puts the cake inside, is chayav skila. Why? He did a pu'ula of baking. Amed vorim amurim, that the cake gets baked. If the oven goes off because there's a power cut, or if someone else turns the oven off or takes the cake out, if he has to pass, he knows the sugya, yeah? And so on. So then, he's not chayav skila, because he wasn't chayav skila. He did everything that he could have done. But there has to be a nifal. If there is no such outcome, then he is not over on the lav of Malach of the Shabbat. He's not chayav skila. So I think that this is a good analogy to explain this happening. Ein Ochinami, if the person did not succumb to his pressure, even though he drove him absolutely crazy, the fellow had to go to a psychologist and get therapy because of his next door neighbor that's driving him mad about his car. Comes out in the morning, he says to himself, if he comes out in the evening, have you changed your mind? Yep. So he says, nevertheless, since he didn't sell it to him, he's not done the lab. Has he done something also? Of course he's done something which is forbidden. Because he definitely intended that to happen. But Mikolshki and the Kal B'Chomer from the Gemara that says, needs a kapora, Gemara Nozi, Hashem Yislachlo, etc. But the Averas Halav that he should be have said to be over on the Lav the rights of Lo Sachmed, that not. Lo Sachmed only he's only over, just like the person that puts the cake in the oven also did something wrong. Yeah, but if he didn't get baked, Sofkov, he wasn't over Bashara. There's no chiyuli. He has not been over on the Lav of baking. The lav is the pu'ula of the lav is the putting it into the oven, but the nifal, the actualization that it actually gets baked, that is something which has to happen. Otherwise, there's no lav. Full stop. Al derech zeh b'nidin didan. That's the combustion house that I can bring for it. Different achreinim. You see different ways of articulating this. I think this is rather than saying it's a shia, or you could call it a t'nai, or you could call it a nifal which has to happen. There's a t'nai that this nifal happens, but I'd rather say it's not a t'nai. T'nai implies it's something you're dovot study. This is the result, the net result that has to happen in order you should be chayav for what? Chayav for the pressurizing. The pu'ula salav. Adkan is the pshat in the Rambam, and with this, we understand the two machlokes between the Rambam and the Rambam. But since the halacha, we are bound to the Torah of Shulchan Aruch, we follow the shita of the Rambam. So therefore, at the end of the day, when the sacrament applies, even if the other person gives permission. I wanted to bring your attention to something very interesting. I haven't had a chance yet to ask the Mechaber HaSefer about this, but it's a contemporary Mechaber, and also one who lives in England, so we can ask him. But Rabbi Avraham Gurevitz from the Gates of Yeshiva, in his Sefer Anti Erez in Havdoma, brings an interesting story which I reported to you here at the bottom. Bill Shoinoi typed it out, not on the Barilan, what's it called, the disc, so we had to type this one out, but it's a great story. V'hinei shamati mi'amur, sh'bei shalomar l'tmei moron agriz, sipaloi moron, oidus uda megoyim v'tzadik nefursim. Shekesharo meirochoi, kshiyudi echot nichnus l'beisei, kibbe ligzor memenu echot michafotso, koro hago'oin l'umosoi, Hefka! Hefka! The guy was coming in the back garden to steal the bike. He saw he was going to take the bike, so he shouted to him, Hefka! He was knocking the bike. He didn't want him to be done. So why did he say Hefka? He could have said Tamatona. So even though it was his and he was masquerade, but the Lekicha wasn't the menu, the Lekicha wasn't a Hefka, he was Zeichabam in a Hefka. He was Zeichabam in a Hefka, so therefore there's no love of Lissachmet. So this, God will be Yisrael, wanted to minimize the Isurim that the person would be over. So therefore he deliberately did not say the Surah Lachon Matan, he was obviously a quick thinker, and he said Hefka. Right, so remember next time you see a Ganav there, Jewish Ganav Al Kulponim, then you should say Hefka. By the way, I want to point out that the Israel Lissachmet does not apply to Goyim. Where does it say this? The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Hilchas Pesach, Simon Tov Mem, in Kuntres Achren, Sivkot and Nidalev said, that by the Lissachmet it says in the Torah, V'choyl Asher Eloyech, both in Parshas Yisrael and Parshas Moskhanan, this source is not on the sheet, so you might want to take note of it. He says, V'choyl Asher Eloyech, we know that wherever in Shas and Poskim we use the term Eloyech, it means a Jewish person. So therefore the Israel Lissachmet and Lissachmet does not apply in relation to a Nochim. A Gentile, even if it's not an idolater or anything like this. So therefore, in business, it's important to know that Lo Yisachmoid, obviously we're not talking about public relations and other issues of diplomacy, but that some Lo Yisachmoid is muta klape enochri. However, that's just a side point. So here, coming back to this Kiddush. Now, it's an extremely interesting Kiddush, but I have a problem with this Kiddush. A major problem. A major problem. Let's look in the Torah again. Torah and Parshas Yisro says Lissachmoid Beis Re'echo, and then it says Lissachmoid Eishas Re'echo. Right? So you should not cover it, let's use the word just to local translation, Lissachmoid Eishas Re'echo. Similarly in Parshas Oishan. Now how are you choymed Eishas Re'echo? The other person can't tell you or give you as a gift his wife, and if he does, it's Niyuf, it's not Lissachmoid. So the answer is obvious, but just in case anyone needs a marimokim, the hamik dovor of the tzin says this explicitly in Parshat Yisro, that the way nesachma works with someone else's wife is that you actually engage in all sorts of manipulative tactics until the other person divorces his wife. Once she's divorced, so she's a free woman, she can marry whoever she wants, and therefore she can marry you as well. So this is Lisach Medeshes Riecha, through making the other person divorce the wife actually a garisha, and then you're free to marry her. That's Lisach Medeshes Riecha. Now let me ask, when a person gets someone else's wife, someone else to divorce his wife, so he's not with care for the wife in Menu, first the wife is divorced, and when she gets divorced, you all the Sechus Kitin, Hariat Matares, the Chol Odom. She is the equivalent of what one might describe as a bite the Tefka. Yep. And now, anyone who wants can come and marry her. So we see that the love of Lisachma, as it applies to Eishes Riecha, applies even where it's not Lot Choy Mimenu, even where there is an interim stage where she is no man's land. Yep. She is Mutaris Bekol Kuli Alma. So therefore, since we see that by Eishes Riecha Lisachma applies even if the Likicha is not directly Mimenu, it adds up in my logic to say that the same would apply by other items of Lisachma, because it's not mistaber that by the special separate din of Lisachma by Eishes Riecha. Mashmoah says that one gather of Lisachma, it applies to all things, whether it's Eishes, Bayis, etc. The Torah repeats it because there it also says Lisachma. And for other reasons as well, I'm going to now.
I know,
so,
it's
a good question. Interesting, because in Halacha Yud, when he says Kol Mitzvah, he does say Ishtoi. By Taiva, he does say Ishtoi.
Mm-hmm.
No, because he's not speaking about the Sachmei there.
The first one
but it's clear that Ishtoi is masculine. The question is, why the Rambam omits Ishtoi from the last? Chayra, it's an important component. Maybe because, I don't know, you'd have to look. It's funny that Lashon, here he says, Moshe, Avdoi and Amosoi, he says, which he does say in the Torah, but Eishes Riecha he doesn't say. But clearly that doesn't mean the Rambam doesn't hold, it's only sacred to Eishes Riecha. He misses it out altogether. You can't say it's taka apella that the Rambam omits it, but to say that therefore the Rambam holds that there's no din of Lisachmas by an Isha would be a chiddush mamzer. Yeah, when it says in them it's a mikromolah dibarakosav Lisachmas Eishes Riecha. So for some reason he omitted it. But if we are going to include it, then we have to include it according to the Gedorim of Lisachmas. No, it can't make new Gedorim. So I have to ask. Anyway, listen, you've got some homework to do to look into this question.
Maybe the Rambam knows the Lisnei Get,
and the Oliver Niot and Lesach Moit.
And
the Rambam knows that
the
Rambam
don't
have
that,
they must be Lach Get. And the Oliver Lesach Moit as well. So then you haven't taken it?
Haven't taken it away from
it.
What?
And what is the Niot?
No, so then
you
can
establish the Chatzal Yisrael Chabayim. Could do the rule? If someone uses it, no. I don't think so.
I don't think you've acquired it, that it comes your own.
It's got to be, even if not memento, but Achalokha has to be, otherwise you've got a whole new love here.
Is it cousin of the Lord of the as well?
Yes.
He didn't, he hasn't.
So that's another, he has acquired it, he's acquired it from Zeta, yeah. So the Muhammad Dawah also speaks what happens by Karaka Shayna and Zeta. So the Mekinim Zeta. If you're over on the second, I am Sean. Yeah. Now, the last 5 minutes of the shiur, I want to move on to something else here. The negir to the second and the sitzada. To go back all the way to the evidence. That's the Dovah Boro, but even if la halacha, we're not mechuyiv to live up to the standards of the Eben Ezra, where we don't even crave that in our hearts, but certainly it is a desideratum, it is the ideal. The ideal is that we shouldn't even want that which belongs to someone else. Eben Ezra says it before Shemichel say it. So that's the pshat in the posse. It may not be halachically binding, but it's still something which we have to desire. And it could even be So the Rambam will also agree that one shouldn't do that. It's just that, you know, the whole view in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is what is Aveiros Halav. Chol Oifen, here we come back to the original question. How can we command ourselves not to be Choymed or Musaveh, not to desire that which belongs to someone else, if this is the meaning of the command? The Eben Ezra says himself, he was a moshul of a peasant, a villager, a farmer, that there are certain things which, you know, they're out of bounds. Once you know they're out of bounds, drilled in, you internalize this right at the beginning. Even if it's wonderful, it's like in another planet. People don't crave for things that are on Mars because it's not a kaduma. These things are out of bounds. You know, with our children as well. You go to a shop with a child, so you start imagining, can you buy me this, can you buy me that? Sometimes repeat magic. When he comes out to trade for chocolate, you say to him no with such a determination that he doesn't even ask again. It becomes imprinted in his psyche that this is my man of a hollow, there's nothing even to bargain about. Yeah. So that's Eben Ezra's approach. I saw, however, an interesting approach in the Sefer Eretz Tzvi from Reb Arya Tzvi Fromer, Kosher Glovarov, Bikoin, Talmud of the Shem Shmuel, who in turn was from the Sochachover, Amelizer. He said a very, very interesting volk in Pasha for Eschanan in his Droshes. Few ideas he gives there. One thing he says, and I'm going to paraphrase, and this is the last point for the day. So there's two people sitting at Chalashidus, and there's some very nice, fresh schmaltz herring. One person eats it with Ayakichel and the Brompton, and it's mamish Gan Eden Ali. The other person eats it, it tastes like straw. It's got the temperature, not feeling well, the taste buds are out of order. It tastes like straw. What's going on here? So we see that actually the thrill or the glick, licknest in the herring, that's licked, and the person is eating it. I mean, to say like this. So therefore, he says as follows. A person craves that with someone else, craves someone else's car, craves someone else's wife, craves someone else's house. Why? How does he know? He probably wants that. He wants the happiness that he associates with. He thinks that if he gets someone else's wife or house or car or whatever it is, then he'll be happy. With his thing, he can't be happy. But the truth is that if the Eivishter wants, he can be happy with his own wife, house or car. And if the Eivishter doesn't want, then he won't even be happy with someone else's house, wife or car. So therefore, the happiness is not in the thing, it's in the person. Once a person realizes this, then it's possible, with a bit of psychological insight about oneself, to avoid lisachmet. Whenever a person craves for that which belongs to someone else, he should divert it from the object to the desire, natural and good desire that people have for happiness and satisfaction. And he should say, what do I want? I want to be happy, I want to be content, I want satisfaction, I want tranquility. That which I have a fixation on, that which belongs to someone else, is because I have wedded the two and said that this is connected with that. But the two are not necessarily connected. If the Eibishter wants to give me happiness, he can give it to me with Belachot. And maybe in this way, every person should be able, with a bit of Hishtadus, and self-therapy, to reach a level where he can also fulfill the Sachman and the Sisana in the highest possible way. Have a great day.